Bad Motivators.
Shit. Yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 225 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am Eric Strothers, and with me, as always, are my two excellent co-hosts, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
And one Mr. Dallas Wood.
Been caught stealing once when I was five.
Sorry, there's some stuff going on in the podcast tonight that's got me thinking about that music video.
Well, I didn't. If you're a fan of the show and you can do math, guess who our special guest is today? Our friend from the Steel Wars podcast, Mr. Steel Saunders.
Hey, you guys, and I'm. This is the first time anyone's ever bought anything on the show. I am in Ralph. Who got what? I got 2 9-volt batteries because we just moved, and the smoke alarm's like beeping, and my wife's gonna kill me. It's like. It's going to be like The Shining if these keeps beeping. So,
oh yeah.
So I have to. Jesus, those batteries are expensive.
So, does that beeping freak Jerry out?
No, Jerry doesn't care.
Oh, and, dude.
Like, I'm not a fan of it, but I can deal with it. But it became very apparent that. There was just going to be an unnecessary poison in the house that was that beeping. So,
yeah, it's pretty brutal, man.
2 9-volt batteries are the cure. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Well, and the way smoke alarms beep when they have a low battery, like it, there's not a your brain can't get the timing of it down. So it feels so random, even though it has a timing to it. But it's so long in between, you kind of forget it's going to happen, and you're like, ah.
Well, the good news is nobody's listening anymore, so we can talk about whatever we want.
All right, I'm out of Ralph's, everyone.
All right,
that was insane. I apologize. I just moved, and
you got gas one time on this show, so I mean, I feel like this was turning it up a next level.
I got gas. Oh my god.
Yeah,
oh,
you don't remember that? You were driving up from like San Diego or something.
You were telling us.
Back. Yes.
About how the gas pumps are called Bowsers, and we had never heard of it before.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Cruz has just left the podcast. He's disgusted with this display.
I'm out. I'm out of here.
Well, hey, since we're in the middle of who got what, why don't we just go ahead and go the full distance with this thing and make this happen right now. Excellent.
2 9-volt batteries, no Star Wars.
Well, here lately, that's been about every episode of Who Got What, unfortunately.
And I also got a Project Partners brand tub stopper, a bath plug that Dallas thought when I was in the supermarket, I was asking for a butt plug. So,
is that how you said it?
Well, with the mask. It is.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's just, and it's all good, but like, you know, different lifestyles. If I hear plug, I think of like the bath, and then Dallas goes to the butt. So like, it's just like, it's all good, man. Like I'm not.
Yeah, and I think
I just
of like
keep some water in my tub, man.
I think of like audio connectors.
I just want to keep some water in my tub.
But so did you steal? You get anything else, man?
A new apartment.
Excellent.
But I don't own it, so it's more of a who's paying someone for someone else's what. So that's cool. But I will, I've had to, you know, obviously move, so I've moved offices and stuff. So all the things that I have got will be reassembled and made more valid through some amazing displaying. So the next time in 25 episodes, in my background will be some pristine Star Wars collectible showmanship.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to move myself.
I did actually try to buy something when I was in the supermarket today. I was looking for like Star Wars pairs just so I could like have, like, so I could be included in the gang. And well, no buys.
I appreciate the effort, man. I'm getting ready to move myself, and I'm not sure exactly how my collection's going to look once I get there, but we'll figure it out. But what I got today was, or this week, was unfortunately a huge disappointment that happened today. Amanda took my car to work. I'm at home with the kids. She calls me and she says, your car's been hit in the parking lot at work. But get this, dude. It's just the back of the trunk lid, but it also like shoved the pan of the trunk forward on my Altima. And here's what happened. Somebody, there's this discount tire place down the street. I'm talking like where the people are out there with like floor jacks, not picking up the cars right in the lot, hustling them as fast as they can. A lot of used tires get sold there. They've already had problems with this. A giant truck, a huge box truck, it's like slipped out of park and rolled into where Amanda works, into the parking lot, and mauled two cars.
Oh, no.
And then a guy came in, jumped in it, and drove off, and then they wouldn't pay for it. Anyway, a wheel came off of somebody's car and goes flying in there, hits the curb. This is what we think happened, and smashes into my trunk. It's like the taillights, nothing. It's all in the trunk lid, and it's like mashed in super hard. Yeah. So yeah, that's what I got today, and it sucks.
An insurance claim.
Yeah. Sweet.
Did you get to keep? Suspend.
Did you get to keep the tire?
No. So the guy whose truck it was parked it up in this parking spot and left it, and the police waited there for him for a long ass time. And he never came. So they're trying to pull the security footage because anyway, long story short, that's what I got. And it totally sucks. But,
oh my God. Yeah. That sucks.
So what about you guys, man? What about a cruiser? What about you?
I actually picked up the War of the Bounty Hunters comic this week. Yes. It's been a while since I bought a Star Wars comic, and everybody was hyping that one up. And I have to say, it was really good.
Did you get the physical one or did you?
No, I'm all digital.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the physical one. I got to get that this week.
We'll talk about it in this episode, if that's cool.
Did you guys read it?
I haven't read it, but I'm not going to. I already know all about it, though.
Okay.
I don't, but you can talk about it.
But
I know the gist.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. It was a good one. Like, even me explaining it to you, you should still check it out because it's pretty good.
Oh, I'm going to get it for sure, no matter what.
Beyond that, nope, nothing else. Nada.
What about you, Dallas?
Our buddy Dave Strutt came through for me this week. He calls me up the other day and he's like, I'm over at the Fort Union Target. They must have just unloaded boxes. They got this, 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 and this. But what I wanted, because I only have enough money for one figure, he got me a Hunter.
Damn it.
So I got a Hunter.
Good on you, man. Black
Series. Yeah, I'm excited. He didn't have...
Good on you. I hate you.
Bo-Katan. So he snagged a Bo-Katan. And he snagged another trooper. What's that trooper that just came out that's not related to Bad Batch?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, well, he snagged that one. But it's a good-looking figure. I'm excited. That was one of the... Because, you know, I don't want... what's the pedophile sharpshooter's name?
You and that fucking...
Crosshair. He's creepy like a... Yeah, Crosshair. He's got, like...
We get it, Dallas. We get the picture, buddy.
Got them vibes. But anyway, the figure's awesome. The paint on the sculpt, the scale, it looks really good. Like, especially all the markings they have on the armor for him. You know, like, so I'm excited to get the others. And, you know, Eric, you and I have said we're not going to buy them until we see them in person. But if Strutter calls you up and it's one you want, you just say yes.
The problem with that, though, is the shipping. At that point, I can just buy it on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, for you, but where we live in the same city, you know, he's always hunting, so
I get
what you're saying.
How's his headband come up?
The headband, Rambo headband.
Oh, it looks great. I don't open them, so I'm not going to play with it that way, but it looks really good.
Well, you know, Strutt and I, we were doing a lot of Red Dead online, and I haven't played with him in a week or so. It's weird.
He went camping. Yeah, he went camping, so he was gone, yeah.
But, well, cool. Well, man, I'm glad somebody managed to score one of those Bad Batch figures. That's what I want, and I check the stores when I go in. Just, they never have anything. But, Yeah, someday. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride, that sort of thing.
We've been pretty dry here, and so just to get the phone call, I was like, oh, Commissioner Gordon, yes, you've got me a figure. Excellent.
Well, I've been like, you know, slowly packing this stuff up, and I haven't even gotten into the inside of one of these Last Jedi stand-ups, because they're just full of figures and those like little Hot Wheels ships.
Oh, you filled the core?
I had to, man. I was out of room.
Dude, you're the, like, because I'm moving, I've been like, you know, people like talking about the toys and setting them back up, and like, no offense, but I've been using you as like the bad example of people I know. Like, oh, some people just leave them in boxes, and like they don't even get to see them. They don't enjoy them. They're in a cardboard box behind something in their room, and they're aghast.
It is.
At least, like, mine are stacked up on the floor, and I can at least see them. They're not hidden in some movie.
It is
prop.
Pretty embarrassing. That's a cry for help if I've ever heard one.
Right. How many dewbacks are in that thing? Seriously.
None, dude. They won't fit in there. They're on a shelf over here. But I got to find Stella. She doesn't play with it much anymore. So,
with
dude,
that cardboard cutout thing, though, here's my advice. Is set it back up as soon as possible, because the longer you let it go, just the more like weathered and bits get, you got to get it back together ASAP.
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. Because like, I have stuff when we moved into this house almost 10 years ago, I have stuff in boxes that have never been opened since we've been here.
No.
Like I use
tragic
some like commercial grade Saran wrap to basically shrink wrap them, because the place I was renting, the basement would get a lot of, it was very humid in the basement, like a cold humid from the air conditioner. And to keep it, everything from getting wet, I wrapped it all up in these things, and some of them are just still in it. So plainly, I don't need whatever's inside. And what I don't want to do is get into that trap of going down memory lane and open it all up. So I'm pretty tempted just to take the whole box and dump them. Like, well, I know one's got a VCR and some other crap in it.
You just
like,
drop it off at the Goodwill.
Yeah.
Just don't open it. Just drop it off.
Here you go. But, you know, that
I
is.
I boxed it all up for you 10 years ago.
That is a bad thing, man. As I look around here thinking, you know, what was I thinking when I did this? What was I thinking? I got some pretty crappy stuff. But anyway, speaking of crappy stuff.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. So, Steel, you have been one of the busiest people.
Dude,
in
I didn't think that was going to be a segue to me. I was defending one of your buddy friends. Your crappy stuff was your segue to me? Jesus.
I'm sorry. My segues are all related to what did I just say? Not really.
God, we got nasty planners tonight.
Is it? So anyway, speaking of awesome stuff, tell us what's been going on over at the Steel Wars headquarters.
Well, let's sizzle it. Cause I'm about to walk back in the house and I've got to do a light bit of battery putting in, because once I start telling you this story,
I can see some of the story on your face.
Yeah, the story is a tale of woe. So put us on mute for a sec or a little bit, and I'll just listen in while you guys chat, and then I'll be back once I've done my duties.
Perfect. Perfect.
All right.
Sounds good.
So, anyway, we're going to talk about Bad Batch today. We're going to talk about the, what's a comic called, Cruiser? Rise of the Bounty Hunter?
No, War. I'm surprised it's not. It's War of the Bounty Hunters.
War of the Bounty Hunters. We're going to talk about the
Star Wars.
The exciting news that George Lucas is coming back in to take creative control of Star Wars.
Is it April Fool's in June?
And Kathleen Kennedy has been informed that her contract will not be renewed. Doomcock was saying that, talking about how his another source has confirmed his sources. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And so somebody
is his source, Mike Zero.
In well, somebody in the Lucasfilm camp who is part of the, you know, the story group, I guess you'd say, and has done like visual guides and stuff. You can just use your imagination and try to figure out that who that is. Yeah. Tweeted today about like it because there was pictures from the set of Indy 5.
Yeah,
popped up, and Kathleen is in the pictures, and he said something like, "Man, you would think if they're letting her go, they'd quit inviting her to these things." And it's like, you know, that pretty much tells you everything you need to know. And but dude, there are some pretty disturbing threads about how, you know, because I guess there's some unrest in the fandom menace.
It's right? One matter of time.
And they're, you know, talking about how you can't let this derail the importance of the movement. And I'm like, could you imagine taking yourself that seriously over something like that?
Dude, seriously.
That blows my mind. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it. I mean, because I know they're passionate about whatever it is they're doing, right? But good God, I don't.
But choose your fucking battles. Like, how is it that anything Star Wars is a movement, like unless it's like beyond like representation, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, but like the Phantom Menace's movement, like what? Get rid of Kathleen Kennedy.
All women in Star Wars.
Make sure if they keep The Last Jedi, they change Ryan's name to Ruin. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is what they want? Like, it's they're not gonna be able to reestablish Luke. Anything.
They want clicks, Luke. That's what they want.
Well, I understand that. But what I'm
the
saying,
people who follow them have been duped into this. This is a movement bullshit.
Well, a lot of bored people have been duped into it, is what it
I
is.
I think some of those dudes, though, genuinely believe in the whole spiel, which, dude, it just boggles the mind. I couldn't. Of course, here I am. I spend way too much time playing Xbox, but I was thinking I couldn't imagine having the kind of spare time that goes along with feeling so upset, I guess, about something like.
Exactly. You spend a lot of time on a wasteful hobby, but that's escapism. That's not. You're not trying to make a movement to like change something in the game. You know what I mean? Like it's
right.
It's a
yeah.
Well, and you know, you get all in, and even in that fandom, there's still a lot of craziness. Like Rockstar hates gamers. That's a real popular thing to say.
Oh my God.
And yeah. Because they're not pouring tons and tons of money into continuing to develop a game that's been out for several years. Now here's the deal. Red Dead is still really popular, and you know, they put it like the online version only up on Game Pass for Xbox, and you know, suddenly you got all these new guys in their plan, and they all came from GTA 5, and so they're just a bunch of, you know, shitsters. Degenerates. Yes, degenerates. But the thing is, they're not selling tons and tons of copies every month. So they're not going to keep pouring development dollars into something that isn't generating any income for them.
Exactly.
And, you know, what they hope is that people will buy the premium in-game currency, and it which don't do it because you know you can earn it, but it, regardless, that's their hope. But they do pour effort into GTA 5 because people are still buying it like crazy.
Oh, and there's I mean, Red Dead is huge online. Don't get me wrong, it really is. But GTA, their online community is probably 10 times larger than Red Dead's, like if not more.
Oh yeah.
Because of all of the ad-libbed things they do now, like within the game, like people will play out things and then voice the characters and stuff like that. It's a big popular thing. Like, if you go on Twitch at any time, there's at least 100,000 people watching GTA 5 videos.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's up there with Warzone, and Warzone's like the biggest game. So, like, it's like, you know, like it's a huge deal. Red Dead, everybody loves the game, but not everybody just, you know, there could be something like that happens where they kind of switch that narrative over to like the country western, you know, people doing the other word for ad lib I'm thinking of. I can't, where it's spontaneous comedy.
Improv.
Improv. Yes. I'm like, I can think of a freaking word. It's all improvisational. These people are just telling stories and doing whatever and setting these weird little missions you can do and stuff like that. And that's the kind of thing you could do that in Red Dead, but I mean, it's made by the same people, obviously, but like it hasn't happened yet. But
well, yeah, because people will like role play like seriously in GTA.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy, man. But regardless, Rockstar doesn't hate gamers. They love gamers. No, what they hate is spending money on something that doesn't continue to make them a lot of money. And I don't know if you know this. I may have said this before on this show, but businesses go into business typically to make money. And once they don't make money, they can't stay viable. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I wish that everything that people were passionate about would support them. But unfortunately, the way the world's set up right now, that's just not how it works. And they can't continue to pay hundreds and hundreds and possibly thousands of employees if money's not pouring in. But anyhow, enough of that.
I just want to say really quick about the Phantom Menace thing. It just shows once again that anytime you build some kind of movement or anything like that, if there's a crowd, the crowd gets bigger. It always does. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then the crowd becomes a mob, and then the mob does the thing. We've seen it in different things. It's just surprising to see that it happens with something that's Star Wars. You know what I mean? Like that's what's kind of startling about all of this is that these people will jump into the comment sections of anything and just all rant like the same shit, and it's creepy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's not even that they have a good point, or even if they did, if you're going in and you're all saying like there's all these little phrases they say, and if you're listening to this, I need you to understand it's weird and off-putting. I hope you understand this. If you're listening to the show, which I doubt you are, I'm not even to go into the abusive stuff, just the real cringe that comes from it. It makes me like when I see you do that stuff, I can't help but realize that there's a very small chance I'm ever going to want to speak to you. Like it's like, you'd have to like have a complete flip around and then not have to be able to see it. Like otherwise I'd be thinking your decision-making is probably the poorest I've ever seen. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, have you ever learned to rationalize as an adult? Has that ever happened to you? I'm just curious, because if something you don't like, if something you used to love goes a different direction you don't like, and you have literally no control over it, walk away from it and move on. And that's just weird.
I can't tell you how passionate that I have been about things that end up, as it goes forward, becomes something I'm not as keen to. I still like the old stuff. And I'm specifically thinking about a handful of bands that, I mean, I ate, slept, and breathed these bands. They were everything to me. And then as, you know, they continued to move on, I didn't necessarily dislike what they were doing, but it just wasn't really my bag anymore. Now, some bands started putting out stuff I hated. But what I did was just, you know, moved on, kept the stuff I liked, and just sort of forgot about it. Even though I run in circles where it's in my face all the time. It just doesn't stick with me. And again, here I say, you know, if you got that kind of time to think about stuff that you don't like, but here we are talking about the very thing and burning up time with that. But I mean, the thing is, people are entitled to their opinions. And that's fine.
Can I talk about shitty opinions in the Star Wars fandom? And I normally don't bring this stuff up, but I'm going to bring this up because it's Pride Month. And some of our friends in this vein of who have this ideology, I wanted to bring this up on the show. Our friends over at Pink Milk got some very hateful bigots on their call-in show. And it's just kind of sad that these people took the time, like the Phantom Menace, they have so little in their life that they have to go and crap all over everybody's celebration of life and being, you know, their true selves and having acceptance. And I just wish people could put themselves in other people's shoes and try to understand why Pride Month is important for a community of the human race. You know, and I was at the Pride Festival yesterday here in Salt Lake, and there's 300,000 motherfuckers marching down the road. And I'm like, this is the greatest time ever. How can you not accept these people? They're fantastic. Some of the best people I've met in the Star Wars fandom are LGBTQ. You know what I mean? And trans. And I was disgusted to hear about this. And our friend Mark, who we've had, you know, on before, he's been on the Patreon show with me a lot. I mean, he called me up the next morning just like, do I have to worry about people coming to get me? Wow. And I'm like, I can't believe you even have to fucking think this. This is just fucking sad. So I just wanted to bring it up on the show that it's important those of us who are allies to these very, very awesome part of humanity, we need to not allow even verbal bigotry. Like you need to tell people. It's like racism. You need to just tell people when they're being racist and it's not appropriate. I mean, because the more that it gets brought up, the less we'll start to see this type of thing where people feel the need to call into a call-in show and shit all over. People just trying to be like, create the community. And, you know, whatever your sexuality is, you can interact with other Star Wars fans. You don't have to be an asshole.
Well, I mean,
God, I was so pissed when I heard this shit.
Well, the creator of Pink Milk and his partner, his husband,
Brian and Tom.
Yeah. They've been told, and I've seen the comments several times, like when they'll show pictures of them and their kids, and they get told all the time that, like, I hope you lose your kids. Like, I hope that they don't deserve to be brought up in a two male lover environment and shit. Like, I've seen it. Like, it's not just hyperbole. I've seen it, and it's like there's so many kids out there that don't have the luxury of a loving home, and to
ask any foster kid.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Who grew up in a foster home. Think about it.
If there are loving parents there to like take these poor children in, then how dare you come anywhere near the happiness? I mean,
your house better be full of kids that you've adopted if you're going to act like that.
Good on them for staying strong and above it, because it shows their true character. You know what I mean? But like, it really like genuinely like hurt me when I saw people saying these things to people. Cause I mean, we're all fathers. Yeah. I mean, like imagine somebody tells you, I hope your kids get taken away for no good reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, why would you even, I mean,
why would you wish that upon somebody? Especially like, they're invested in those children. They love those children. Those are their children. Yeah. They've adopted them. You know what I mean? Like, it just be like, if you or I adopted, you know, any of us adopted a kid, it'd be no different. And to tell someone, oh, I wish you didn't even, God.
Yeah, it's horrible. But I wish those people over there nothing but the best. And I hope they gained a lot more listeners, you know,
listening to the show, go listen to their show, subscribe. Yeah. They deserve it. They're awesome. I watch the show, the Late In Show. I don't want to call in or anything because I don't think that's my space, but I sure enjoy it when I can catch it.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I missed all that, but at the same time, man, I wish I'd been on that call-in show. I'd have told that guy some fucking shit.
Hey, great news. I got some great news. my freaking Bogan neighbor just pulled in his loud truck. I'm hoping you guys hear it. You know, when my car, is in my driveway and the back end of it points at the road. And I thought, I wonder if one of these dum-dums, like if they were trying to back one of their trailers around at 2 o'clock in the morning and ended up, having to try to use my driveway to get squared up to go straight across to their driveway. But I'm like, I give them the benefit of the doubt. I suspect that they would probably, own up to it. But good night. I am so ready to not live here anymore. The end is near. It's within my grasp. We close in a week.
Are you figuring out a way to convince them to go to Burning Man in Nevada for 2 weeks so that you can sell your house and they won't be anywhere near your house after you close?
Yeah. That's definitely a thing, man. That is definitely a thing to come in here and have my, people come and see the house and they look across the street and they're like, man, that sure is a nice trailer parked in that strip of grass between the sidewalk and the street. Now, is that there all the time? Because if it is, buddy, I'm in. I love it. I'm taking it right now.
I can't believe I just said Burning Man. I should have said Sturgis. I should have known where I was talking about.
But hey, Steele, I accidentally muted you again. My bad. You can unmute yourself on your end, right? There we go.
You better can. You are painting quite a picture of where you are living with, like, there's frequent wheel attacks or wheels just rolling down the street and this guy living across. It's you're really shacked up, like in the Cletus end of town in Springfield.
There's an engine swinging in the tree across the street. I can attest. A few years ago, I saw that shit.
Yeah, some folks will never lose a toe, but then again, some folks will. Like Cletus, the slack-jawed yokel. Yeah. It's pretty rough, man. It really is. I wish it wasn't a thing. But seriously, we're so close. Just got to hold on. We're so close. But anyway.
You ready for the story? Because I want to know, like...
I am ready. Doesn't it look like I am ready? I am always ready. I have been ready since first call. I am ready. Roll. Can anybody tell me what that? Anybody tell me what that's from?
Target dog. Tell us that story.
All right. So if you're listening, obviously you can't see me, but I've got this. I'll show the boys this giant bump in my head.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah, your hair was covering that. Wow.
Yeah,
that's quite the goose egg
and a big shiner
bowl cut. So that's like massive, and then I've got this black eye.
It's like the target dog.
What happened was, it was like last Sunday, and I was beginning to move stuff out of the house. And so I was sort of like double parked in the driveway. And one of there's people in our old apartment, there's four different houses, and we're all like super tight. And so if someone parks in driveways, it's just like, hey, just when you get a sec, someone texted me, so I can get out still. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So I reversed out, and we are next to the Fairfax High School, or we were, and they have a market there every Sunday, which is sick. Nice. But it draws in all these people looking for car parks. So it's on Sundays, it's dreadful to go in and out in the car. And LA streets are like too small for how big LA cars are. They didn't like think it out. And so I reversed onto the street the other side of the road. Do you know what I mean? So then then I can pull back in. So as I'm waiting for the car to pull out, this truck comes barreling down this street. And this is like where my kid, my kid and his friends, they all play, not on the street, but like they're in the zone. And it's super busy and it's a narrow street and I feel like he's going to run into me, but he's barreling down. So I wind down the window and say, hey, slow down, dude. So he did slow down and he, in his pause, in his speed, he did wind down his window, reach out and rip my side vision mirror off.
What? With his hand?
What? With his hands. Well, it's like a RAV4, so it's sort of
Macho
designed.
Man Randy Savage was dead.
Dude.
Jesus.
Like, this was more like an Ultimate Warrior level of roid rage.
Oh, okay? So he was like pulling on a... going full warrior, eh?
He drives off, and I'm like, well, I've got to get this guy's, like, a photo of his license plate. So I just, like, leave the car and sprint down the street. But because I only just, like, went outside to pull my car out for a second, I don't have shoes on. And so the car knows what I'm, well, the truck knows what I'm doing. So it turns right down the next street. So I turn right, and I'm sprinting. And you know when you're just like, I'm going to run so hard. Because I've been watching like all that Falcon Winter Soldier and they run down streets and catch up with people. So I'm like, man, I can do it. I've seen it. Like I'm agile. I can run. I should have gone and got my skateboard because then it would have got it no sweat. So then when he gets to the next corner, so he's turned down one street, so I can't get a shot of him. So I'm running down. Then he turns down the next street. And then he's like getting a fair bit of ground on me, admittedly. And as I get to that intersection, he's about to turn onto Melrose. And I am now in a position, I'm barefoot, I'm running very fast, faster than my legs have the ability to keep me at a speed at. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha. Like, yeah, you overran your stride. Yeah.
Can keep up with.
Yeah, so I'm like just like, with every step, I'm just like, I'm about to eat so much crap. Like, it's inevitable. So I'm just trying to keep the flow going, right? I'm just trying to go with the flow, maybe get to like a nature strip, like a side, like a, you know, like a the grass, the lawn. And then I kind of don't know what happened. Like, then my memory cuts out, and it sort of annoys me to try to remember it. But then I just remember I'm walking back to my house, and then I realize when someone sees me, I've got this golf, like, it's so small now, but it was like a legitimate golf ball under my skin.
Yeah.
Like above just my
full
eye.
Full of blood. Yeah.
Big goose egg.
Yeah. So like, Jackie's like freaking out because someone's like gone up and said, "Steel's hurt, come down," which, do you know what I mean? That's not good. That's not good. And, you know, I hit my head. So I'm sort of like, oh man, how hurt am I? Like this might not be good. So then I got taken to like this like urgent care place. To like where I'm insured at, and it's like in Australia, it'd just be like freebie. Yeah, man, we'll check out your bump. But here we pay a decent amount of change.
And so now you're bankrupt. That's usually how medical care goes.
Well, I'm not because I've got I pay the money each month.
Right.
Like for the healthcare. So like at one part, like, you know, it's a bummer. I've got this giant bump on my head and, like, you know, I might be concussed or who knows what's going on. But on the other hand, I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm sort of psyched. So I get to go into some machine that scans my brain and, you know, get pushed around a wheelchair. So I'm just, like, going, fight, like, all those months of payments. Yes, sweet. And and then what's happening now? So I had like a concussion, and they said, you know, you just like want to stay off your computer and stuff for a few days, and make sure you're not getting dizzy, and not confused and all that sort of stuff. And then next day, I got a black eye, a little bit here, and over the next couple of days, the eye like got it crept across, like I was slowly like mascaring up to join David Bowie's like band or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, so what? I got another doctor's appointment. I'm just like, what's, you know, this might not be good. But it's all the blood in my bump. It's coming out of the bump.
Yeah.
And getting absorbed back into my body through my eyeball, which is just fantastic for anyone having dinner right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, just it looks like I forget now. And
so you don't know what you hit. You just woke up and walked home kind of concussed and didn't realize what happened.
Oh,
you just
fell forward. I hit the ground.
It was just the ground, like you didn't hit a park bench or rock. No,
like I was in the middle of the street. Mm. So
straight asphalt. Oh,
okay, not on grass or something. Oh god.
Nah, so like all my knees are all like, you know, like scabbed up. But I'm that's sort of like that's just makes I just pretend I went skateboarding for that.
Oh, but, buddy.
Yeah.
So that's why everyone back home thought I did skateboarding, and that would have been cooler, but it also would have made me terrified the next time I go skateboarding. So I'm glad it wasn't it. But at the end of the day, especially in LA, you shouldn't be chasing trucks with angry men inside them, even if it's just to take a photo. So,
and I thought kicked shame his ass, but he got a good shame shot in. That's where I thought the story was going. I thought you were going to beat his ass and, you know, he got one good shot in.
Nah, dude.
Not falling on your ass plate in the middle of the street. No, I didn't.
So did you get his license plate number?
Yeah.
I'm walking back and I look at my phone and there's like no photos.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, and then you look and you realize what you hit your head on was his rear bumper and his license plate number is embedded in your forehead.
If only. If only. But, yeah, it's been – oh, because when I was on sick list, I had things it's pretty loose around here, I've got to tell you. When I was on sick list, like, weeks ago, my story was this car just crashing into a car park in front, like, going across the street and ramming all these other cars. So I don't know if I'll do any more podcasts because it seems like they're just – or they just need to be more – Star Wars news. So, like, fate doesn't have to generate content for me. I can just talk about, hey, it's the new Luke Skywalker adventures. They're coming out. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I'm glad you're all right, man.
Yeah, me too. And Eric's wishing the same thing because tires are hitting his cars to create content.
Dude, that's the bad thing. Like, when you get it, when there's a road rage situation, you know, the four of us here would very likely never be the instigators of said incident.
Nope.
But dude, once somebody's off the rails like that, you just don't know. I mean, there's like terrible stories in the news of a little kid getting shot because some people flipped off somebody else. And when they pulled up behind him at a light, they fired a single shot into the back of the car, you know, and it's good Lord.
Well, that's the sort of thing I should have had in mind.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But it just, sometimes it just gets frustrating, you know. You just like, you just want what's right to happen.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And you know, it's sort of been a frustrating error for the people that think like that. But the thing is, right, like you talk about road rage and like back in Australia, oh, it's a sport. Like I've taunted people for like half an hour, and like it's just. Not like someone's like gotten mad at you and then you do the little, oh, I'm scared.
Right.
But there's this sort of like there's a code of conduct and one of those things isn't pulling a gun out. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I got to say I was listening to the podcast while I was doing stuff. I could still listen. Good episode, guys. And you were talking about the pink milk thing. And Pride Month and stuff. And this is one thing that some people have trouble with when, like, a celebration of someone that's not you or not like you isn't an attack on you.
Yeah.
It's just a celebration of something else. It's not, it's not putting you down. It's just saying, and you know, and it's a hard thing for some people's psyche to get around. It's you don't have to feel excluded by the celebration. Just join the celebration. It's not, yeah. Like, but some people read it as like, this whole thing's to have a go at me. Mm. And it's like, it's not. It's just these people having a good time. And they invite.
I drank beer with edible glitter in it. How can you not be happy about that? It was gorgeous. I posted it online. It was like swirling with the glitter. Oh man, it was great.
Well, I saw there's a video going around, and this lady, she's talking about, she says, well, I don't even know what property she's talking about, but she says, well, what characters do straight people have to rally behind? And it's like, are you serious right now?
Like everything,
like every month, ever?
Father's Day, every holiday.
She's just a goof.
God.
But anyhow, man, I'm sorry to hear that that's happened, man. That is, anyhow. So, in much less traumatic news, we had an episode of The Bad Batch this week, and I can't recall the episode's title. Anybody got it handy?
Decommissioned?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That is right.
We saw the return of Iraj's girlfriend.
Yes, and, we did.
It was pretty neat. And again,
how covered she was. Because, I mean, like, you couldn't even see her hair in this episode. Like, she had that whole getup on.
I just want to, you know, point this out here. Same thing as always. We're assuming you've seen it. We're going to talk about it, not necessarily intentionally going full spoilers, but we're talking about the episode. So there you go. But my big question for everybody is this, and because I've heard people say a particular thing about this, but how did you make this episode? Where does it rank for you as far as your favorites of the season so far?
For me, this was my favorite because it got me enough of a congruency with what they'd been building up so far. It got me excited about where they're going. So for me, it was my favorite because I loved Omega in this one. And everybody already kind of said they liked Omega. And I was like, yeah, she's cute. But like this kind of put me over the edge. We got like a good feel of what she's going to kind of be. So it was fun. I really liked it a lot. It's my favorite.
I feel like you've been saying that the last 3 weeks.
I know. I keep saying that.
Like this episode is the one that Omega, that I really started liking Omega.
Yeah, I know. I keep saying that, but I like this one, like, okay, I don't know. I keep saying that, but this one like really got me. She was awesome in it.
Well,
not wanting to like her, I guess, is what my problem is, Luke. I keep wanting to not like her, but she just keeps winning me over and over.
Why do you not want to like her? She's awesome.
I don't know. She's awesome.
I do get it. You know, some people basically what I was driving at have said that this wasn't one of their favorites, but I thought it was a lot of fun. I like the whole gist of the what are those, the tactical droids. I always found them fascinating, and the entire nature of how they are, well, you know, tactical geniuses and smarter than every other battle droid and all these things. And the notion of you need to go in and get the head of one of them, and Sid is sending them after the thing, and them encountering characters that we've seen before that I actually really enjoyed. That was fun. And them seeing Omega in action, and again, Omega being in super imminent danger. I'm glad she got her bow back. She wasn't an instant marksman with the bow. And so, you know, we've been talking about the implications of her, like, where does she fall in line with the other clones? Is she the culmination of all of their special talents? What's the deal? And, you know, I guess that the answer is that's probably not the case, because she did not instantly nail this thing, which I'm glad, because, you know, that's just makes it a little more realistic, I guess. But
absolutely.
What about you, Cruiser?
My question about, like, I liked the episode. It was fine. But my question about the continuous buildup of Wrecker's headache, and then this one with the, you start to say good soldiers follow orders, which very clear, it's been clear for weeks, but there it is. Is that what the whole season's going to be? Is it going to be them addressing this chip problem in their heads? Like, if that is what's going to be, that's fine. But if that's all it was ever meant to be, was just these clones going off and doing their thing, but they have to get rid of the chips in their head first, that's fine. But like, they always make you feel like it's going to be about something slightly bigger. You know right. What I mean?
And I think what you're saying is, where's the chase and how do I cut to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Because I do understand where you're coming from with that. It's tough.
It's going to be the climax of the story arc, maybe.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it's obviously got to be a thing. You know, it's a big question mark. And we talked about this before, but they're kind of hitting you over the head with the whole deal that Wrecker, this thing with his head wound is going to be a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sure how fast it would come on the way it did. Now, let me ask you this, because I'm pretty sure this is a case. Nobody knows that it happened except him, right?
Yes.
And he probably doesn't really have an adequate memory of it happening.
My guess is no.
So what I'm wondering, and I think a lot of people are wondering this, is this how Rex is going to be introduced into the story? That he's the one that helps him suss this whole thing out. What do you think?
Hey, I'm just going to jump onto my laptop, so.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
do you want to stop it before we go into that further?
Yeah, we will pause really quickly, and Steel is going to join us on his laptop instead of his phone. So give us a minute, and we'll be right back in 2 and 2.
Bad motivators!
Okay, we're back. Sorry about that. So, I can't remember exactly where I was in this whole thing, but I was speculating that the whole thing with Wrecker is how they would get Rex into the show. And, you know, because he's the first clone that had his chip removed. Do you think, will that happen sooner rather than later, or is that going to be a later in the season sort of thing? Oh, yeah, because I also asked if Wrecker, nobody knew that happened but him, is what I was saying. So what do you guys think? Is Rex going to be in the next couple of episodes, or is that going to be a closer to the end of the season thing?
I think it has to be soon, because I don't think it's good enough for the end of the season by itself. But it's interesting about the chip thing that's why Rex would get pulled in, because there is a line of thought that Rex was the hologram at the end of the episode. So he's already in the mix, just based that they're rogue clones rather than around the chip. But he might be able to obviously offer some insight to the chip or react to it. But there's this is speculation, toy leak, spoiler, ificky things, but not that much. That apparently there's a Rex figure that is, he might have a cloak on or something like that.
Huh. Mm.
So that would fit in with the hologram.
Well, and that was the other thing I was going to ask, is who do you guys think that was at the end?
Oh, no idea.
Who does the cricket think?
I mean, my instant thought was Bale, but I mean, the Rex thing, I guess, checks out. But the thought is that he sent Finnick Shand after after Omega? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's a separate thing. Because he whoever that person is in league or in communication with the sisters.
Okay.
And then Fennec Shand,
that's... There's too many bounties going on.
Yeah, I know why you're confused. Because there's another there's two mystery people now.
Yeah.
There used to be just like one, who's Fennec Shand working with? And then they've sort of got another, who's that? Worst case scenario, it's Mace Windu.
Oh, God.
God, that, I just hope that's not a thing. I mean, I realize in Star Wars, nobody's ever really gone. But, God, come on. So one of the things I considered, and I'm not, I don't feel confident in this, it's saying of going to the mat for it, but, you know, I considered that it's Ahsoka because, you know, by this point, the sisters have already met her and dealt with her, you know.
And that's Ahsoka's droid.
What's that?
Isn't that droid Ahsoka's?
Oh, I didn't even notice.
I'm pretty sure it's like R9 or something, but I'm pretty sure like that's Ahsoka's old astronaut.
Huh. You know what? I don't know. I can't remember. Man. Where's Corey when you need him?
Wait there. Ahsoka's
all right.
Droid in Bad Batch. Let's see what the internet says.
I love the official typing sound. Makes it very sound very real and visceral.
And hence,
you can't hack a typewriter. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Getting shit done in real time.
I don't know. My search isn't going very well. Yeah.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it's the same droid.
Well, I know that, you know, this is something that they want. There's supposed to be a show. We've already seen her in The Mandalorian. She's already met the sisters. This would be a way to, like, bring that all around, I guess. But I honestly, Bail was my first thought, just based on what they said. But, I mean, I could really go either way. I don't necessarily have someone that in mind that I hope it is. I think I'm sort of indifferent to that part of it. It's going to be whoever it is, and I'll take it and like it kind of thing. But as far as, like, what's going to move the story forward correctly, I'm not sure. It is nice to see that already at this point people are like, screw this Empire, man. This is crap.
Already noticing it's a scam.
Yeah, this is the worst pyramid scheme ever.
Yeah, so R7A7 was an astromech droid with masculine programming who belonged to Ahsoka Tano and who was also the droid in that episode of The Bad Batch.
Well, I'll be darned.
Damn. Wikipedia for the win.
Well, I mean, I guess that answers the question, but... Does that make it more likely that that's who it is then, I guess?
I mean, can Filoni resist the urge? I don't know if Tanaki can. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I guess I blame him. I mean, he's just a very popular character. I mean, it works out. But, like, it kind of feels like they're just following a similar story beat to the last season of the Clone Wars, you know? We got the Bad Batch guys in the beginning, and then Rafa and her sister are there, and then the stuff's going to come later, you know? Like, it just kind of... What's next? Anakin gonna come here as Darth Vader at the end? You know what I mean? Like, so.
Right.
I'm not saying I'd be against all of that. I'm just saying it kind of feels like it's following this similar character progression.
I would say you're right, but they did give us a little Caleb Doom in there.
Yeah, I mean, they sprinkled in other characters too in the season 7. You know, so I mean, but
I'd be pretty like. Impressed if she just wasn't in it. Like, I'm not like hating on her. Like, I think the character's great, but it's always, I guess Resistance. Did Resistance get an Ahsoka cameo? I don't think it did.
No.
Like, everything else is, hey, a little bit of Ahsoka.
Remember this one?
You don't see her in Empire Strikes Back, but you got her here, eh?
So
you guys like lightsabers? How about two?
One of the things, I was talking to our friend Hawes from the Blue Harvest podcast. I was talking with him, and it's funny because this was before this past week's episode of Blue Harvest came out. We were talking about who do you think that is at the end. And I mentioned the thing with Wrecker. And I said, I hope that, you know, they don't have to go like Old Yeller with him. And he said, dude, Will made that exact same comparison. But, you know, it is a concern because if you recall, Kevin Kiner had tweeted that he was working on the music cue for the finale of the season. And he's like, is it weird to cry because you're working so hard at a cue? Now, mind you, he didn't say he was crying because of the scene. He said he was crying because of how hard he had to work at it. But, you know, let's be real. If it's that hard to work out a piece of music, it's typically because of the emotion involved and you're trying to adequately represent that, you know. Could the unthinkable happen? Could they be their hand be forced to have to do something like that?
I don't think they'll put him down. I think they'll just stun the shit out of him until he finally sleeps like a rhinoceros taking several, you know, trank darts.
Give him a some milk with a sedative in it, B.A. Baracus style,
with a side of turkey. Yeah,
you've got to think it's one of those things where he has to think of the love or something, and it comes, he gets through it, or there's some wave, like energy wave, that Rex knows that you can, it will frizz it out or something. But you've got to think that Wrecker's, I don't know, he's just made, they've made him into too much of a teddy bear. He's got a teddy bear.
Yeah,
you can't kill the teddy bear guy.
Right. Well, and that's the thing too, because he's got this childlike innocence to him as well, and that's just that would make it even. I guess that would make it more of a of mice and men situation then. But
Rick a deed? Rick a deed?
Yeah, deed.
That's pretty good, man. I have done everything I can and resisted the urge to try to imitate her accent because it would be the worst.
It's so hard not to, man. It's so adorable.
I know. I just love how, like, in general, Kiwis say dead. Like, remember in Sith, oh, these Wookiees are dead.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
The best, like, New Zealand saying is because there was a girl in my office back in Australia that was from New Zealand. She was the best. And when they were going to go on a little, like, road trip or something, in New Zealand, they call it a tiki tour. Just going to go on a little tiki tour.
Okay. A tiki tour?
A tiki tour.
Oh.
And what other ones were there? Oh, like an esky? Or the, what do they call it here? Like an ice box or something?
Like a refrigerator?
No, like where you, like, you go and, like, you're tailgating or whatever.
Oh, a cooler.
Like, cooler. A cooler.
Yeah, yeah. Chili bin.
Chili bin, okay.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard.
Have you spent much time in New Zealand, Steel?
No. I 1 week for work. Oh! And it was the week that the Phantom Menace trailer came out, because I had hotel dial-up internet that was real fast for the time.
You're like, yes.
And it was like $30 a night or something. And I was like, hell yeah, $30 a night. That is money well spent. And so I plugged the little phone line into my my copper key MacBook or PowerBook or whatever it was called back then. And yeah, went out to get the worst Mexican I've ever eaten. And when I came back, the trailer in post stamp size was there waiting for me.
Oh, every journey has beginning. I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, dude,
they couldn't get the resolution, so it had to be a small little. Yeah, I remember those days.
Well, and I was so nervous to not lose the page because it took so long to download. And I just wanted to keep watching it. And I just tried to keep it on my like my Safari or whatever the web surfer was back then open for as long as possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could. I don't think you could save it. But, oh, man, that was the best. Like, as far as, like, how little something was on my screen to how much enjoyment and imagination sparked, that was like per pixel, great value. You know what I'm saying?
I'm just kind of worried that you ordered Mexican food in New Zealand. Now, I've never been to New Zealand, but I can't imagine Mexican food being a very good cuisine there, being so far away from Mexico, I guess.
Well, I don't think it, I think you can cook it well anywhere. It was more that it was hard to, like, there wasn't many Mexican restaurants in Australia at the time. So I saw one and I'm like, oh, hell yeah. But the cheese like came out of a squirty thing. It was like the cheese.
Oh, like gas station nacho cheese?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, hell
yeah.
Boo. Oh,
boo. Not on the Mexican food. On the nachos, fine.
Well, Steele, let me ask you, how have you been enjoying the show Bad Batch in general?
7.2.
Wow, that's
my average. So yeah, I've really enjoyed it. My low point was when they thought Echo was a robot. I just like, this is so silly. But they've done a real good job of, like, not falling into the characters tripping over and all that. Like, it's sort of been a bit more subdued. And, I've dug it. I think it's like, super fun. Like, it's not what, like, when everyone was rating, like, when they did all those announcements or whatever, like, what are you looking forward to? This one would have been well down the list.
Yeah.
Super low. Depressingly low. But, it's been fun. But it's, you know, for me, it's not that juicy. Like, I just love the live action stuff because that's just my era. You know?
I think about this all the time. The generation that grew up with Clone Wars is their Star Wars. They just love Ahsoka. But I really dug seeing her live action. And I think it's exactly what you're talking about. Just having grown up with live action everything. So,
yeah.
It's also a hard act to follow. We had two fantastic seasons of The Mandalorian, and the next Star Wars thing is The Bad Batch. I mean, after The Clone Wars, which also was awesome. That's the seventh season. But like, we also almost all of us admit that the best part of that season was the end of it, you know? So like, and then they made a series about the group that we were trying to get past to get to the good stuff at the end of the season. So like, it's we were all kind of like dealing with that and we're accepting that, you know, we like this, but like, there was all of this like really, 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 really good stuff. And now it's like, here's our little Bad Batch story about these clones and see what they do. And I enjoy it, but like, you're right. It doesn't feel like it has any of those big moments. And like, I'm not saying it won't, or even it has to, but like, does that mean, like, does it have to have those moments to sustain more than one season? Or was this always meant to be just a one season show? Like, I don't know the answer, but
yeah, I don't know, man. I am enjoying it more than I thought I would. So at this point, I would be totally cool if it went multiples. But then again, you know, you eventually are going to have to deal with the, well, where were they when?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'm... I don't know.
That's the best question in Star Wars.
I mean, yeah. If you're gonna make it multiple seasons, I suppose you could end it and make it known this ended right before Rogue One or something like that. If you really are going to make, but I don't see it going more than just a 16 episode run. I think they decided to do 16 episodes and just call it a day.
Yeah, but what, I wonder what's going to happen to Omega at the end.
I wonder if she might get her own thing.
That's the biggest question for me, is because, you know, anytime you introduce a kid, it really changes like what you can do with it in good taste. But, you know, you've got this character that you're going to have to deal with in a big way. And, you know, you can only do so many of the, we've got to get him out of here, out, you know, into the unknown regions to hide him and keep him safe. You know, you can only do something like that so many times. And yeah, I don't know. I just don't know. I love the character and I would love to see more of what she's up to, you know, especially as she, you know, grows and all that stuff. But I sure don't want to have to think about the fact of her being, you know, the unspeakable.
I just don't want it to be the show because we didn't want the Clone Wars to end, but it had to, and then it was popular, so therefore here's some more. Like if that's the thing, fine. But like I don't want it to feel like the rebound, you know, the other relationship. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Right. Well, you know, I'm totally digging it, man. And, yeah, we've got several episodes left and hopefully, you know, they'll all rule, but
it's halfway this week. Yeah.
I think so. I guess the eighth episode. Yeah.
Is it? Dang. It snuck up on me.
But so, I love that. Sorry, Eric, that like they're learning. They're not making this, like, do you know what I mean? Like now Omega's got rules and she went back to the ship and
right.
Like it actually, like when she went back to the ship last week, I'm just like, there's no way she's going back to that ship.
Yeah.
I've seen these cartoons before. They never make it back. They always double back to try to save, then they get captured or whatever. And they actually, like, progress. They got her a comm link. They gave her a set of rules, some boundaries. And I was like, oh, yes.
She's not learning a lesson about family at the end of every episode.
Oh, please, no.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, that is cool. I like what they're doing with the characters. I would like it if they would check in on Crosshair. But yeah.
Yeah, the episode where Echo was a robot, I really miss Crosshair's storyline and Tarkin and stuff. But this episode, which I was way more into, I didn't even think about Crosshair till like after the episode finished.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to see what's up with that side story or that side of the story, but yeah, I'm really enjoying this. And if they, something that we talked about over the last couple weeks, Steele, is are they going to have where they have an arc of, you know, two or more episodes where there's no resolve? Like, you know, a couple of episodes ago with the Rancor, when it got done, they still didn't know who hired Fennec Shand, but they rescued Moochie and that mission was complete. Will they have anything that hangs over that isn't like where nothing got totally resolved at the end of this episode? So it's not like an adventure of the week sort of thing. Do you think they'll do that? Or do you think they'll sort of keep up what they've been doing where every step, every episode is a completed step with question marks on other things?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it will be one of those things that when you watch the whole thing, the steps will be there. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like in that episode, the Echo one where he's a droid, like at the end they hinted who, or they said, you know, Fennec Shand's working with someone. And at the time, I was like, oh, he's going to leave it on that? Like, that was, I don't know. Like, I just didn't feel fulfilled with the episode at all. But the fact that they're dragging it out, so you would then think that the reveal is going to be something pretty substantial. You know, that sort of changes my tone on it, because it's like, oh, you were building up like something that was good.
Right. Now, you know, one thing I hadn't considered is that what if it were Rex that hired her to get Omega? Because let's say, just, I'm just spitballing here, but Rex knows about Omega, but is assuming that the Bad Batch guys are compromised. I hadn't really thought
about that. Might be because maybe he's run into or seen what they've done to Crosshair. And so maybe he's assuming they've done something to the rest of them.
Yeah. But
I just wonder how he would be so in the know, yeah, of the inner workings. I guess he might have his ways, but it just seems kind of he's way the hell out.
So let me ask you this, Cruiser, jumping forward. So, you know, we're about halfway through the season, and we'll just keep watching them. But let's talk about this comic book that you brought up. They've made a pretty big deal about it. I heard King Tom wax poetic about how great it is and like what the thing's going to be as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
But tell us your thoughts on it. Are you the only one of all four of us that have read it?
I think I am the only one. And this is the first Star Wars comic I've read since, I think the most recent one I read was one of the main Star Wars run comics that's set in between, Empire and Jedi, with the new run they started. And that's been a while. But this one, I heard that you could kind of maybe read like one other issue before it and kind of know. But personally, when I read it, just knowing the brief little bit that I needed to know to understand the story, it wasn't that big of a deal. It's just about Boba Fett transferring Han Solo, basically what it is, and then losing him. That's all. That's what the whole thing is. And then there's a big bounty on him. But everything that happens in it, like there's a bounty on Boba Fett, and literally everybody's coming after him. And can I spoil something about this or not? I'm not sure.
Yeah, man. Here's the deal. The comics has been out for what? By the time people hear this on Wednesday, it's been a couple weeks. Yeah.
In a week.
I think it's fair to say we're going to spoil it. So if that's not your bag, jump forward or.
Yeah. Just a few minutes. Well, I won't talk about it forever.
But don't kid yourself. You're not going to go buy it. You're never going to get around to it. So just keep listening.
Good point.
So there's
press stop and then gone. Oh man, it's a month later. I didn't listen to the rest of that podcast. I'm going to go back and listen to it. So don't do that. Sorry.
There's two moments that stick out to me as far as major. Like, one's not as major actual storyline, but major to us as fans of the collective bounty hunters from Empire Strikes Back and stuff like that. One at the very end, I'm sure you all heard about it, wherever it was a reveal of somebody, but they straight up murdered Forlom and Zuckuss in this one. And I did not see that coming at all. Like they were the first two to come after Boba Fett. And he just like Zuckuss thought he had him. He was all talking shit, and Boba Fett just laid waste to him. And then Forlom came along, and he whopped Forlom's head off, and used his head to like triangulate where he had to go next. Like he just
damn,
fuck you, bastards! I was like, oh my god, that was crazy. And they just moved on from it. Like. Okay, it's just, you know, all those years we spent watching these two little insect robot dudes. Like, I wonder what's going on with those guys. Doesn't matter.
Did they make a gag like where Boba Fett wasn't sure which one was which? He just knew that these two guys were Forlom and Zuckuss.
I think he knew, but he just said that like where's the other insect head, and he was behind him or something like that, and thinking he had to jump on him, and you never had to jump on Boba Fett, of course. But the major bit at the end is so like what has happened from what I gathered before this is that like I think Han's like carbonite is like leaking or something, and he has to like take it to somebody to get it fixed, and in that process it gets stolen. And then so the person who got it is the leader of the Crimson Dawn. And the big spoiler is the leader of the Crimson Dawn is not Darth Maul at this point. It is Kira. And it is revealed that it is Kira. So now Kira has Han Solo. So, and there's this whole thing made about like, it's like she's talking how like Han Solo can like unite the galaxy. It's not explained how. And then it goes on the next issue after she's like pulled back her hood, and they're like, yes, Mistress Kira or something like that. And it's like, whoa, Kira, there she is. And I'm trying to understand, like, I feel like by revealing that she's the leader of the Crimson Dawn at this point, like, I think at that point, Maul's been long dead, right? Like he died before A New Hope, right? Like right before it. Right. So this has taken place obviously after Empire or during Empire or after it. So I'm thinking, like, I think some people may have not liked the fact that they revealed this part right now, but I've not heard it, but I can imagine you Star Wars fans be upset about something. But like, I think by doing it like this, there's still a story that they could tell to like satisfy Solo fans later, you know, about how she got that position and how all that went down, you know, because everybody talks about how they want like the Crimson Dawn live action series or animated series or something. I think they could still do that and then still have this other story being told too. You know, as Star Wars likes to do, it likes to tell the end and then the beginning. So, I mean, it's something they could do, no problem. But I want to say really quick that the illustrations in this comic are exceptionally good, and Charles Soule did an excellent job with the storytelling in this issue. And supposedly it's going to be like a big long deal. I was kind of reading all the issues that are going to be involved in it, and it's quite an event. So
wow, so it's going to be a long stretch, and they killed off the lizard dudes right away.
Yeah, yeah, and I wonder if that means that he's just going to slowly kill off all the other bounty hunters, like. If they're keeping to canon, I don't know if they will or not, but we know my least favorite bounty hunter. We know he survived into Dengar. We know he survived into Aftermath. And then supposedly wasn't he didn't he get transformed into another being, and they showed him?
Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Freaking shit. King Tom would know his name. He's been in love with this whole thing ever since. It's like Rengar or something. It's like
Rengar.
It starts with an R, but his face is all like cone shaped and like misformed. He's got a robot body now. And he was in that bar that like John Williams was in. And
yeah, yeah. It was like he got the budget Anakin Skywalker job.
Yeah. Low budget. But yeah, I would say definitely check it out if you haven't. I mean, even from what I told you, I think just seeing the story and seeing how Boba Fett goes through this process, it's pretty cool. And I'm excited to see where it goes.
Steel, are you into that sort of thing? You into the comics at all?
I wish I could be. I went in with a lot of enthusiasm. But they just don't. I just, like, for me, what I'm into is just not value for money. To
same, yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's why it'd be worth it to wait until the whole run was done. If you're not super like waiting to know the story right now and just buying it as the compendium later on for a much cheaper price,
or just subscribing to Marvel Unlimited for 1 month once it's all on there.
Yeah. But, pay a whole $6.
The actual storyline, like I'm sure, like, if once you get rid of, like, if you just enjoy it for what it is, mm-hmm. without the context of the movies, for me anyway, but it's just like that in between that Han's leaking, and then he takes him to get fixed, then he gets stolen off him. Like, all this stuff happens between the two. Like, for me, it's just too much. He's just trying to shove too much stuff in there. And
yeah,
like, I always saw it as the major things that happened are in the movies, and then other things happen in the books and the comics sort of stuff. And it just seems like they were trying to wedge. Like, and then it's just again and again, like, Luke, like, going face-to-face to Darth Vader in issue one should have been a big warning sign. Yeah. And then now he's got, like, the yellow saber between Empire and Jedi. And that, it's just like, dude, you're killing how cool. Well, you're not. You can just, like, go, I'm just ignoring it. But it's sort of, I don't know, it just takes the romanticism about, you know, then he didn't have a saber when he built one and stuff. So yeah, it just crosses too many lines for me that I'm just sort of like, yeah, I'll check into it when, you know, something crazy happens like this, but I'm not like investing money into it anymore or anything like that. It's right. It's, for how I want the stories told, I'm just going to stick to what's on my television, and I'll read an occasional book. And I like the High Republic ones because they're their own thing. They're mm-hmm. not, you know, and sometimes the squeezy stories are cool, but the comics tend just to go a bit too, like, and maybe it's like that style is what people that have read comics for 30 years are used to. But for me, that I just want like a movie in a comic book, like some of those little twists and turns and the yellow saber and like all that sort of stuff. Like I Noah from Kessel Run, they were talking about it, and he was like, oh, it'd probably be cool if you know, like Han came out of the Carbonite and got to talk to Boba for a little bit before he got frozen again. And I'm just like,
ugh.
Oh, that, like that, you're killing me with this sort of stuff. But it just shows what people, they have different, you know, weights to what's important to them in the movies and stuff.
Right, right, right. But yeah, I may go ahead and check that out once it's been, like when the whole run's done, like you said, get the trade.
Yeah, I mean, and it's being written by Charles Soule, so I mean, like, you know, it's gonna be well done because mm-hmm. all of the comics, like, you say what you will about the comics, and you have a lot of validation in saying a lot of the weird shit they've done in the comics since they've come out, but almost all the one issues that Charles Soule's had his hands on have been gold, are really yep. really good at least, and so I mean, it's worth checking out. The problem is there's, like, I want to say there's like a probably like, maybe I could be wrong. I'll have to look at the cover, but I think like 16 issues involved in this. So of like different comics, you know how like when like X-Men would have like these big events, they'd like be going through like three or four of their ongoing comics and splitting the story apart and you gotta go in there. So I don't know. It might be too much and too much variation in styles and writing and, you know, for people to grasp onto it these days.
Yeah, you know, like in the Afro comic, they had that thing where there was just this short arc that jumped out into other comics, like other titles. Vader.
Yeah, and the Man Star Wars run.
Yeah. Yeah, which was neat, but it's like I just don't have the resources to be jumping around like that.
Yeah, I just, you know, Luke makes a strong point. If it's by Charles Soule, it's going to be really good. You're not going to see any Mon Cal Grievous crossovers.
Oh,
you know, yeah. Fucking Space Whale Armada. What the hell?
Now that I'll like take.
Space whales.
But,
space whales.
Now,
cyborg space whales that they're like inside of ships and shit. What the fuck?
is there any other like big thing going on in Star Wars right now, confirmed wise, that we are aware of?
We know they haven't started filming Mandalorian season 3 yet.
Yeah.
They're not that little Pedro Pascal and Ewan McGregor 6 seconds clip they posted today.
Yeah,
but, that was awesome.
It was cool to see them together, regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
It was weird.
Yeah.
It felt
kind of surreal. It kind of felt like they merged two separate videos from different conversations, and like, oh, you know.
I never even considered that, but. Well, you know, so the big thing this week is Loki is out the day that this podcast drops, and I'm super stoked for that. I'm really looking forward to it, and I love the Marvel stuff. Steel, you into that thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped, actually. Yeah. Loki's a sick character. It seems like the way that they've been sizzling it is very interesting. I'm not sure how all those multiple universes. I think because it's in Marvel, I can just like, I have whatever, because I'm not invested.
Yes.
Yeah, like if that entered Star Wars, I'd be like, ah.
Yeah. And that's, yeah.
Owen Wilson.
There's times where Marvel was invested.
Big Owen Wilson guy. He served me well back in the. What was that? What was his heyday? The 2000s or whatever?
Late 90s to mid 2000s was really
Wedding Crashers. Yeah. He was in Royal Tenenbaums. That's a great film.
I think it really started forming probably in Armageddon, though. I think that's when it really started. Like,
yeah,
it had the Owen Wilson assance, you know.
Zoolander.
Oh yeah,
yeah, but yeah, but I think
Hansel.
But I think Armageddon was before Zoolander and
99, right?
I feel like Armageddon was like 97 or 98.
I can't remember any of that stuff.
Don't want to close my eyes. Don't want to miss
I was thing. Drinking a lot then. Well,
early baseball.
You know, I mean, yeah, we got some cool stuff to look forward to, man. I'm way into it. So, and I'm glad for Amanda because, like I've talked about, the Marvel thing is totally her bag, and that and Friends, those are two big ones. But anyhow, well, Steel. Man, I really appreciate you coming on the show, dude. It's always a good time. Every 25 episodes, I'm glad we've been able to keep that trend going and that you're able to accommodate us in that manner. So thank you very much.
In some way, anyway.
And so tell everybody where they can find you and what you're up to.
You've been to the Petrol Bowser. You've been to Ralph's.
Watched you buy butt plugs.
There was one Lucasfilm adjacent thing that you missed, and that is the filming of Indiana Jones 5 this week.
Oh, I did mention that.
Did you?
Yeah, we were talking about how, you know, they're saying Kathleen Kennedy's contract is not going to be renewed. Doomcock, our good friend, YouTuber.
That's and, how you started talking about that. Okay, yeah. That must have been the one bit I missed.
That's okay. Cool. That's okay. But yeah, I mean, that'll be cool. I'm looking forward to that, man. I love Indiana Jones. I love Harrison Ford. And oh my God, just drive off. Jesus Christ. Anyhow, Steel, tell everybody where they can find you and what you've been up to.
You can find me on YouTube or podcast or social media at Steel Wars and do a Star Wars podcast or Star Wars news, lots of bonus shows with King Tom and Hawes and Robbo. We'll sort of be having the hit on the head and the house move a bit of a week or two off, but we'll be back to it. But however, there's one thing that is up is my store in Melbourne, the Shore Store. I started a podcast for that, and I've done, I think this is the sixth or the fifth episode, they're just like interviews, and we just had on Nick Mason from the Weekly Planet podcast, which is like a really very popular sort of Marvel style, you know, pop culture, you know, pod. So he's an old mate of mine. So if you... want to hear that, go check that out. Just search The Shore Store or Manchester Lane Radio, or go to theshorestore.com and you'll get all the links. There's like a YouTube version and then podcasts and all that sort of stuff. So
killer,
check
man.
That
killer.
Out.
That's cool. Well, be sure to check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. We got a lot of cool stuff going on over there. Check out TeePublic and Redbubble. Our shirts are slowly but surely being knocked down. Got another takedown today.
Hey, we got a takedown. Like, that takedown came up literally right after I put your Taylor Swift one back up there. So I don't know what it was. It was the one that his name's Josh, right?
Yeah,
Dallas, the one that he did for was like forever ago. Well, but it's because the title you wanted me to give it has literally Star Wars: A New Hope in it. I'm surprised it lasted this long.
Yeah. Oh wow, yeah. We'll change the name of it.
Yeah. But. No, I changed the Taylor's Sith one to like Sailor Tiff or something. Like
that. Dude. All of our shirts should be like Schlego names, you know, or like those fake like Star Wars figures names like over the years. I know Steel appreciates like knockoff Star Wars.
Oh, man. Well, you just do it how Hasbro does it with their figures now. They just name them after state. Like, it's Rex, but they call it like Denver.
Yeah.
For like 9 months in like all the secret.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like in the description of the T-shirt, I put she's a it's a lady who is evil and she may also sing songs.
Well, I'll tell you what to name it. You need to name Get Taylor in the title, and also the word red, because that's the name of one of her like most well regarded albums.
It'll be taken down the next day.
No way,
you know
it
will. You know it will.
She want her money, bro.
No. But anyhow, follow the show on Twitter @bad_motivators. You can check out the other social links in the description below or in your podcatcher or whatever. I shouldn't assume it's below. And I guess there's nothing else to say except this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
Later.
The Bad Motivators.
The Bad Motivators.